And now, The Low Post.
Welcome to The Low Post Podcast, live from a windowless conference room in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, where I'm very excited to be joined by now third-year Atlanta Hawks big man, John Collins. How you doing?
Yes, sir. Appreciate you for having me on. Thank you.
Hey,
the Low Post. Yeah, what's your Low Post game like, man?
I had an up and under.
Okay.
Big fan of the up and under. And against smaller defenders, I'll break out a righty jump hook. Right. And that's where it ends. That's all I got.
Okay. At least you have a go-to and encounter. So, you know,
that's
what I mean?
It.
That's all you need.
If you figure those two out, I got nothing going on.
I can't say anything else.
Did you watch the soccer game today?
I did not have a chance to watch it today, but big shouts out. Congratulations to the women's team kicking ass like they usually do. I mean, this is, you know, not to say it's normal to see them be great like they are, but I mean, like I said, they're just out there kicking ass and winning games. So, big congratulations again to them.
Were you on Twitter as the NBA world was exploding with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George?
If you were an NBA fan, who wasn't? If you had a Twitter, if you had an NBA fan and had a Twitter account, you were on Twitter that whole week trying to see what the hell's going on.
Were you here?
When the
Kawhi Paul George thing broke at 2:30 Eastern time,
yes.
So probably 11:30 here.
I was in the hotel, and funny enough, I was sitting there on my bed, and I was like, man, you know, although KD and Kyrie to Brooklyn is a big move, I felt like a lot of people have been calling that out for so long that when it happened, I wasn't a surprise. But I was just sitting in my bed relaxing, and then I just see across the clicker, boom, Kawhi's gone, boom, PG to the Clippers, so quick, and I was like, man. This NBA stuff is real, man.
You call anyone? Like, what's your first reaction? Are you trying to, like, break down the rosters, how they fit together? Are you just like, this is just fun?
No, I just straight up analyze it. And in my mind, when I said PG and Kawhi on the team is, regardless of whoever else is on the team, that's a nice
Do
team.
Not dribble in the vicinity of those players.
No, like, the passing lanes that are going to be cut off, the help defense, the help side blocks, the on-ball defense. And they got Patrick Beverly. So, it's going to be, they're going to have some solid defense. Montrezl Harrell down there, too. They got some pretty solid guys.
I don't know who you're tight with in the league. Did any of your friends get moved in this madness in the summer? Do you have any buddies who got, like, surprisingly moved?
No big buddies. Jordan Bell is my real friend. He, not really a move. He went to, you know, the Timberwolves. So that's probably, like, the only one where I'm like, you know, that's
I'm
my
surprised
guy,
he didn't,
left.
Yeah, he got a minimum. I'm surprised he didn't get more.
Yeah, I was very not pleased when I saw him get that minimum. I was expecting him to, you know, get some more money like I saw some of the other guys sort of around his caliber of player getting, but you know how, you know, stuff works.
You know, it's interesting. He's got a place in the NBA. Like, he had that streak 2 seasons ago where he had to play a lot because of injuries, and he was throwing passes out of the pick and roll and making plays. Like, man, this guy's good. It's like, it's part of, like, you got drafted almost in the opposite situation. Right. You got drafted like ground zero. So you get to play through, like, when you're a rookie, you're going to make mistakes. Like, you're going to do crazy stuff. Jordan's in a position where, like, they just take him out of the game.
Right.
It's like, now Charlotte, the only thing I'm excited about Charlotte blowing up their team, not offering Kemba the max.
That was the biggest surprise to me the whole summer. For him to still want to play, they underpaid him. He still said he wanted to stay, and they still didn't offer the date. So did they not offer him, or did they? Or did he just walk away?
They offered him, reporting is they offered him, I think his max was 5, so he had the super max, forget that, that's
right,
out,
right,
not
yeah.
gonna happen.
No.
Then his max was 5 years, 190. Then they offered him, the report was 5 years, 170. Mm-hmm. And if you offer that, it's kinda like you're inviting me to your wedding the night before. Like, it's not a real invitation. You don't actually want me to come to your wedding. Someone else canceled, you got a freebie, you got a meal that you paid for. It's not a real invitation.
Oh, okay. Yes, it's not real.
But my point was, now they have no choice but to let Malik Monk just come out and do crazy Malik Monk things.
Right,
that's it. You just got it. So Jordan Bell didn't get that opportunity. Okay. How do you feel about the Hawks?
I feel great, man. I feel like we have, you know, one of the best, if not the best young core in the league. And I feel like, you know, if the chemistry keeps working how it is, you know, we can keep adding pieces, keep building and progressing. I feel like we're going to be, you know, a lot to handle in the near future. I'm just excited as I feel like, you know, a lot of other NBA fans who had a chance to watch, you know, we've done in Atlanta. I feel like, you know, I'm as excited as anyone.
You feel it. You feel like something's happening.
Yeah. I'll say this, like, in Atlanta and I love my Atlanta fan base, but the fan base, you know, it's a transplant city. So I feel like sometimes, like, the fandom can get lost. But I felt like over this past year, I've seen or felt like just by going out in the city, felt a different energy. Like seeing people's eyes like truly light up. Like when they when they talk about you. Usually it's Trey and I, or oh, I love to watch you guys play. You guys are exciting. You guys are this. Like I actually hear people say continuously. As I see Jared Allen, who's playing in Summer League, which is ridiculous.
Why is Jared Allen playing in Summer League?
Which is ridiculous, by the way. But sorry, I
You know what my favorite? So I'm gonna let you be. I'm gonna let you.
Anything else to say about?
I'm gonna let you be silent because I don't want you to get you in trouble.
Nah,
my favorite free agency subplot. Speaking of Jared Allen, who's on TV dunking all over my Croatians right now, was KD and Kyrie taking a discount so that they could pay DeAndre Jordan $10 million a year. Jared Allen is on their team than DeAndre Jordan.
He's on their team getting starting in the playoffs, right? Was not sure, was he starting? He wasn't starting in the playoffs, or was he?
Yeah, he was.
All right. I'm not crazy then.
Listen,
I don't know what's going on over there.
You're too good for this, but here's what I'm going to give you some career advice. When you start to get older, like 12, 13 years from now, right, like the athleticism starts to fade a little bit, mm-hmm, you got to lay the groundwork now.
Right.
When stars are coming into the league, start being really good friends with star players that are like 5 years younger than you, so that when you're 33 years old, like, we got to take a discount. Sure. Get John Collins in here.
Yeah. All right. That might be a good idea. You know, stay in the league, get a couple, you know, more contracts, hopefully get a couple more rings maybe, you know what I mean? Try to, What is it they call it?
Ring
chasers, right? Yeah.
But isn't it sad that so much of the discourse around the NBA is about rings? Like, how do you feel about that as a player? Because, like, now it's like, and you see what it did to Kevin. Kevin Durant was like, I'm getting killed because I don't have any rings. And then he goes there and he gets rings, but he gets killed because he jumped on the bandwagon. And it's like, it was like with LeBron. LeBron's a choker. He's a loser. Like, none of that was ever true. He just needed to get a ring. And it's like, there's this just segment of fans that you're just not validated as a player unless you get a ring, which is just, it's hard. It's hard to win one championship. It's really hard.
Yeah. I have that same sort of mentality or mindset because I feel like, you know, like every player to me, there's levels, right? There's a threshold of how great a player can have his legacy become without a ring, you know, and there's so much talk, but I feel like the great ones are able to win championships and, it's just a differentiating factor. I hear a lot of guys say, which I can understand too. I've heard a lot of other pros and other older guys who've, been in the NBA tell me it's all sort of a luck of the draw. You know what I mean? You never really know the type of situation you're going into or the, you know, the team situation. And you could possibly, you know, just hop in and land in the ring, not, you know, saying, taking anything away from my boy Jordan, but just a touch on it. Gets drafted to the Warriors, does his job and is able to get a nice shiny ring.
Yeah.
Being in the right time, but being in the, what is it, the right spot in the right time.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? So it's,
where did you want to get drafted? You were 19th, I think. I was looking just really briefly. I think Indiana, Portland were nearby. Did you have a spot you wanted to go to?
Not really. I mean, I'm a Florida guy. And 14 was Miami. You know, they had to pick. They picked Bam. That was really it. And other than that, I didn't really care. I tweeted.
It's funny, during your rookie year. It must have been halfway through your rookie year. I had a funny, but it was real. I had tweeted, Bam Adebayo and John Collins don't know this, but they're in a competition for like my favorite rookie big man in the league. Bam's really good. Bam is talented.
No, I've always, you know, given him his respect, his credit. He definitely is a freak of nature. You know, strong as an ox, and he was athletic as hell too. So I think he's
going to get the run of the place now that they traded Whiteside. He's going to be the starting center.
I'm hoping so. That he's definitely earned it. You know what I mean? He's definitely paid his dues down there, and you know, waited his turn. So hopefully they repay him.
Okay, let's go back to the Hawks. Trey Young.
Nice, Trey.
Very unusual player in terms of where he can shoot from. Very unusual in that he walked into the league, I think, as one of the 10 or 15 best passers in the league right off the bat. Was it, as someone who sets a lot of screens for him, was there an adjustment period learning his game and his rhythm or anything like that?
Nope.
Nothing.
Not in the way basketball usually happens. No. No way. Like, Trey and I came into the gym and it worked like that. Like, pick and rolls. When the first day Trey and I were in the gym, I think we were scrimmaging. They put us on the team right away, and we didn't really even need to say anything. It was just like, he sees the lanes. I know he has ability and the timing to make it, and our body language is even sort of speaking the same language. That's what I meant. Sort of, we don't have to say anything. Our bodies were already sort of in sync before we even, you know, played with each other, because I feel like our games sort of mesh. You know what I mean? He's able to see see the passing lanes. He's small enough to get into those spaces and find them, and I'm able to get open. You know, it's people don't – I don't think people realize how hard it is to actually get open and stay open in the league. I feel like I do a good job of
interesting.
That, and I feel like he's
– What do you mean? I agree with
finding,
you.
Finding those open spaces.
What is the skill? What is – how do you do that? How do you get better at it? Staying open – getting open and staying open.
Yeah, I mean, well, anybody who watches my game, they see me. I'm up and down, moving. So I feel like – that's already sort of just ingrained in my game as of that natural offensive movement. If you want to be open, you can't be stationary. Like, that's, you know, you're not going to get open just standing around unless, you know, you have a point guard sometimes who's able to draw defenses and create, which sometimes can happen. But most of the time, you need to find your open space, which basically means you got to read a defense, maybe a back cut every now and then, maybe a post-up, fake post-up. Just got to switch it up.
So Trey never got hit in the face with a Trae Young passion and expect or anything like that?
No, there's definitely been, okay. been times, you know, we've messed up, but I don't feel like I'm needed to say, okay, man, me and Trey need to get in the gym and work on our chemistry, man. We're not on the same page. Like, no, there was none of that, at all.
So you, like you said, you come into the league and the first thing everyone notices about you, now I don't watch any college ball, and everyone, they come here. Is okay. He's a rim runner.
Right.
He gets up and he can dunk and he can finish lobs. Then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's facing up. He's attacking off the dribble. Oh, he's shooting corner threes. Oh, this year he's shooting above the break threes. Do you just want to do everything?
Yes.
Like, is that what?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Especially my height, my size, my weight. You know what I mean? The NBA loves, or I would say historically, likes guys my height, my athletic sort of build, that positionless potential, right?
Yeah.
That I have is what I'm trying to tap into. You know, I want to be like a Giannis, KD, LeBron. I can grab the board, dribble up, pull up three if I need to, pull up jumper to the mid range if I need to, get to the cup or make a dime, transition. I want to be able to do it all. Guard 1 through 5, switch. I just want to be on the floor. I don't want coaches to ever have to be like, oh, JC's got a mismatch. We need to switch him out. I don't want that to ever be a thing. You know what I mean?
I was going to ask you, you've played 4 and you've played 5. Probably played more power forward in the NBA. But
I'd say 50-50 because my rookie year I was locked at center with Coach Bud, which most people don't really realize is I was playing the 5, and then with Coach Pierce this year, and then the addition of Alex Len and Dwayne, I was able to play a lot more for.
But even sometimes, like when you would play the 4 with Dwayne, they would treat you like the 5,
right?
And guard you with their 5s and guard Dwayne with their 4s. So it's but do you care? Do you have a position that you preferred, or is it more about just like you said, if you round out your skill set like that, they can get a dive man to play with you, they can get a shooter to play with you. Don't matter.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I want. That's what I mean. Like, I want coach to be able to say, whatever we're doing, John can positively affect the game plan of the scheme. You know what I mean? If we want to go small ball, and I can play small ball 5, I feel like, in the modern day NBA. If we want to play regular size, go big. Hopefully I'm feeling like one day I could potentially play the 3 spot.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Move down, you know, maybe increase my dribbling ability, my passing ability, you know, shoot the ball a little bit more. Maybe coach put me to the 3. We play a big lineup and I can play at the 3. You know, those new sort of additions that the NBA has really never seen before is sort of that area that I'm sort of trying to target.
Did Coach Pierce take you to a playoff game this year?
We were supposed to go to one of the games. We didn't have a chance to go to.
Didn't happen.
To go to one this year, no.
Because that's one of the things he's.
He usually does.
I saw him and Kevin Herter at a playoff game in Philly.
Yeah.
Together, and he's like, I just want to show him, hey, this is what it looks like at the very highest level.
Something was up. I was doing something with him for the Hawks, that we couldn't go. So, man, we're definitely have a chance.
Who was your vet when you were a rookie? Did you have a vet?
I don't want to throw shade on any of my guys, but I sort of had a very weird team of like one-year guys and like expiring contracts. So like I didn't really have like true vets because everyone was sort of like worried if they were going to be there, they might have been traded.
1 foot out the door.
Yeah, so my vets weren't the greatest. I can only say I really have like one. It's like Dwayne Dedman. Because he was there about first year, and then he stayed that second year. And he was the guy I asked most of my advice about. He was a big man, you know what I'm saying? So that also helped me just talking to him from the mental standpoint. But it was sort of hard to ask most of those guys to like latch on
right.
My first year. But my second year, Yeah, I had VC. So, like, it sort of – he made up for a lot.
Vince?
Yeah, Vince Carter.
I was going to say, now, yeah. Vince is like – sometimes one of my colleagues at ESPN, he goes on our shows.
He's on TV.
He's up
right
there.
Now.
He's you may be calling this game.
He's calling. He definitely is.
Do you have any embarrassing Vince Carter stories? What can I make fun of? What can I use as ammunition to make fun of Vince? Other than the fact that he's very old, he's older than I am.
Okay, I gotta tell you off camera or off mic, man. I can't let that out.
You can't.
I'll tell you. You know what I'm saying? So he might not know. I told you.
Okay.
But you know we'll
I mean, you're blowing your cover a little bit by saying that on a podcast, but that's okay.
You already asked me the question, though. You already were trying to get me to say something anyway.
But it does sound like for you, it was actually a cool experience to have Vince Carter on your team.
What? Yeah, man. I mean, the best dunker of all time, in my opinion.
Oh, I don't even think it's an
debatable
argument.
The way he's been able to transition from an elite athlete to a pretty much a knockdown dead-eye shooter. Is able to, like, you know, create longevity in his career has been amazing. He's been a big part of the reason why my jump shot, I feel like, has become more consistent. He's
like
if you're in practice, and you know, we always end practice most of the time, if it was a real practice, with shooting drills, and you know, we all split up, and he's always with me. We're always shooting together, and I'm trying to learn from him. So I feel like he was a big part of that,
like helping your form or helping
everything.
Like
the coaches, you know, having Vince Carter on the roster, coaches can kind of just step back at times, you know what I mean, and let Vince talk, because he obviously knows what he's talking about. You got 20 years of NBA experience, you're obviously a lethal shooter now, you know what you're doing, you know what I mean. So he's there helping me, footwork, eyes, everything.
Should he ring Jace in his last season?
Nobody's going to be mad at VC if he does.
He's been really. It's been really interesting to see him go Atlanta, Sacramento. Like, he's done the opposite of, and he's like the mentor role.
My point is, that's exactly what I said. Vince hasn't been the guy where it's like, okay, he had to. He went after huge contracts or do this, did that. I feel like he was, you know, a real true OG and did it in OG fashion. Try to help out some younger teams and give some wisdom to, you know, some younger guys. Sort of give back a little bit. So that's what I mean. I don't think anybody's going to be angry if
no. I told him. I saw him at the finals. Whoever, I was like, you gotta, whoever's the best team at the end, that's where you got to sign.
I'm damn sure not going to say nothing about that.
Dwayne Dedman, by the way, I meant to ask you about this. When he makes threes, he does the call me, long distance, whatever, dial up, you know, phone. We're doing phone gestures. We're not on television right now, so people cannot see what we're doing.
Pick up the phone.
Did you like that, and are you going to develop a trademark three-pointer celebration?
Yes, I am. You know, it's funny. These past 2 years is the first time I've ever shot or attempted three-pointers in a game ever in my career.
Wow.
Never in travel basketball, never in high school, college, is never. So, yes, I got to develop one, but it's I just say that to give y'all a backstory and let you know I've never shot threes ever in my life. So getting one now is going to be like really cool, and I'm probably going to forget it because I just started shooting threes for real, which is crazy.
It's in development is what you're saying. Your celebration. You don't want to disclose what it is?
No, I don't, you know, I have some prototypes, but, you know, it's in the works. We'll definitely have some real saucy when the season comes around.
It's funny though to hear you talk about your game and the versatility of it and the guys you want to emulate. Cause I was going to ask you, like, what players did, and you already said Giannis, KD, you're naming the top of the top, the most versatile 7-foot guys in the league.
Yeah.
I was reading a little. Now, we hastily organized this podcast, so I was reading a little bit of your background. I didn't realize how lightly recruited you were at times during high school.
Nope, yeah.
I read a story, I believe it was after your sophomore year of college, your mother said, hey, it might be time to start meeting with an agent or something, and you were like, agent? What, I'm going to get drafted? Maybe I'm getting the year wrong, but there was some story about like...
No, you're yeah, obviously, a couple of details off, but you definitely have the right main picture. The only thing that you were off with is... it's pretty much me not being sure whether I wanted to go. Like, you know, we obviously knew I had aspirations of going first round, but I'll say I wasn't really like, I guess I didn't really understand that a first round, like me being a projected first round pick, was like a dude, what are you thinking about, go type of move. I was still sort of in the mindset of, you know, because I came into college thinking I was going to be there for 4 years.
Yeah.
I you know, wasn't a 5-star kid, wasn't anything. Had like 6 or 7 offers, you know, high major offers, but yeah. I was just very, you know, under the radar. So in my mind, I had to
put on the hard hat, stay all 4 years. So I wasn't really like mentally ready to say, oh, I'm leaving yet. So, you know, she, you know, I had a couple people in my corner, my uncle, my mom, who were like, nah, dude, you gotta go, dude. You're projected first round lock. You gotta go.
Now you're, you were very close to 2010 already.
Yeah. Thank you.
Don't
remind me.
No, you'll get there. But my point is this: Are you surprised how well you've done in the NBA, or like given your background and what everything you just said? Like, do you ever sit back and be like, "Damn, this came a little faster than I thought," or you've reached a point where you're like, "No, I expect to be this good."
It's a little bit of both. You know, I feel like, or I'll say this: like, if anybody who's watched my game. Like I've been averaging 20 and 10 or around it. Not to say I'm averaging 20 and 10 my whole career, but I've been doing those same sort of numbers and playing that same sort of way my whole life. And no one's ever been able to like truly change it. And once I felt like I got to the NBA and I was still able to do that at this level with teams game planning and stuff, obviously, you know, more game plans or whatever will change. But I felt like once I belonged, everything else sort of clicked. I can't say I expected to be averaging 19 and 9 so quickly, you know, but I also would be pissed at myself if I wasn't averaging anything. Like, you know, I felt like averaging 20 and 10 this year was a good goal for me.
Now it's got to be the goal. Now right. You got to, now, no, now if you're sure. This close,
and,
you got to do it.
And most people forget to realize I was out. I've missed 15 games at the beginning, 20 games in entirety this past year. And I was still able to, you know, squeeze out 19 and 9 coming into the year late. So I feel like when I, you know, coming in with a healthy body, a full season, can
I check think some stuff up. I think if you had not missed those 20 games, you would have gotten All-Star consideration.
That's how I felt too. I felt like I also would have got a lot more publicity for that Most Improved Player of the Player of the Year award.
Yeah, where'd you finish?
I didn't place at all. I don't think.
Okay, you got the participation ribbon.
I don't even think I got that.
Wow. It was Siakam, Russell, Fox. I think Siakam was the top three.
Once Siakam started playing in the playoffs, started doing his thing.
Boy, he's good, man.
Yeah. Once he started playing in the playoffs, I was like, okay, I get it. You know, they got to give him the nod. But no, I wasn't in consideration at all.
Now you're almost, I think you've played yourself out of it next year because you're already 19 and 9. What are you going to do? Average 26 and 14?
You know, it's funny. Because I was pissed that wasn't in consideration. So I called a couple of people just to figure out, you know, a couple of NBA people in the offices and obviously can't name names. But
Adam Silver. Go straight to the top.
Yeah. Just called him, texted him, said, yeah, I'm about to call you right now. But, no, I was talking to them and trying to figure out, you know, what was going on. And they told me, and pretty much in so many words, said that statement of, yeah, we already knew you were better than that, so we couldn't really give you Most Improved Player of the Year award consideration, which was like weird for them to say that they thought I was pretty much saying I was better than the award warrants. I still wanted consideration. I don't know if they was just trying to cover it up for me, but hey, it is what it is. You guys see the improvement. I really want that All-Star nod, to be honest. So
is that a goal next year? Are you just make that a concrete goal, All-Star?
For sure. I still felt averaging 19-9 this year. I could have been in the consideration. If we won a little bit more games, you know, I felt like that definitely would have been in the cards. But, you know, that's the big goal for me is, you know, trying to get an All-Star. That's a goal for me.
What is the biggest challenge for you taking the next step on defense? What's the area of defense you want to zero in on? Maybe it's footwork, maybe it's switching, maybe it's rim protection, whatever it is. What are you zeroing in on?
Honestly, not to say it any way, but I feel like it's not to say that I have to focus in on anything specifically. That's just I have to focus in general more and be more locked in more of the time. I feel like that's my problem. I have too many defensive lapses where – you know, I feel like I'll just fall asleep or something like that.
Interesting.
I'll be late to getting to a spot. I don't feel like I have an issue guarding anybody. I feel like my foot speed is definitely quick enough to keep up with anyone. I feel like, you know, besides like, you know, De'Aaron Fox or Westbrook or some crazy like that, for me to guard anybody. So, you know, my athletic ability around the rim, I feel like my verticality, around the rim has definitely improved my shot blocking. So I just feel like for me, it's about being locked in more.
so I can make those plays because I feel like I've shown the ability to make them. I just got to make it more consistently.
One of the coaches told me, ask John what we get on him about the most. See what he says.
I don't know. It's a couple things. It depends on who asks you the question, obviously. But as a whole, from a coaching staff, I don't know. Maybe probably like getting low. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Or being in the stance,
which is harder than people think. That's hard.
Being
work.
In a stance all
work.
The time is f-ing tough.
It's hard.
It's a difficult thing to do. You have to be truly in shape.
They told me. This guy told me occasionally forgetting plays.
That was at the beginning of the year.
Now it's a wrinkle. It's ironed out.
Yeah, I felt like that was at the beginning of the year. I was coming back late. I was so. What happened when I got hurt is I started training, and I guess you know this is before the season started. And once I got hurt, I missed the whole like introduction to the systems and the
new
plays.
Coach.
New coach, literally. So I missed his whole like cycle of I guess like coaching implements.
Yeah.
So I missed his like that whole first 2-4 months. So when I came back, yeah, I didn't know the plays. I had, and the, you know, you want me to come back and play 20 minutes. I'm tired as hell. I got to learn new plays. I got to play myself back into shape. You know, it's definitely harder than people think. But yeah, once I got the plays down, I mean, but nothing.
And that reminded me that Lloyd, early in the season when you were breaking out and everyone was writing their, hey, pay attention to John Collins stories, uh-huh. like December, January, whatever it was.
Right.
He gave a quote about you where he said, we don't call any plays for John. And it was funny to see you respond to that. It was interesting to see you respond to that from a distance. I never asked you about it. But it seemed like you wanted to be like, that's not really true. Like, you wanted to push back on that a little bit because it almost made you seem like someone who just is going to randomly get into 60. You didn't like it.
No, because I felt like, it made me seem like I was like a system player.
Or like a garbage man.
Like a glorified system. Not a garbage man.
No.
Not even a garbage man. I felt like they were trying to make me like a glorified system player. Like, this dude excels at finding ways to score within his team system. And I felt like, and he might exploit that. And I felt like that's sort of like the box they were trying to put me in. But that's not what coach was really trying to say. What he meant by it from being on the team in my perspective is most of the plays were built, every play in the offense has an option for me. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, there's not one play that we have to run every time down for me. Like, every time down, we can just call something.
Right.
And I definitely have, like, real potential to get open. So, when he's saying that, he's saying, yeah, we can just come down and call something. And John has a super high chance of getting a bucket or making an impact or doing a play just because he's on the court. We don't have to, you know, force feed him anything. That's all he was trying to say.
I just wanted to pause real quickly to tell Low Post listeners about something really exciting that's going on here at ESPN. If you think you're the ultimate NBA fan, then let me tell you about the all-new NBA experience at Disney Springs. Inside an impressive recreation of a modern-day basketball arena. That's pretty cool. You can enjoy 13 unique experiences that merge the magic of Disney with the thrills of the NBA, bringing every angle of the player experience to life. This experience gives you one vacation package for you and three guests for 4 nights and 5 days at the Walt Disney World Resort, including 4 round-trip coach airfares, 4 round-trip ground transfers between the Orlando International Airport and the Walt Disney World Resort via Disney's Magical Express service. That sounds interesting. Room accommodations consisting of 1 standard room with a maximum of 4 persons per room for 4 nights at a hotel at the Walt Disney World Resort, selected by Disney in its sole discretion based on availability. 4 5-day theme park tickets with Park Hopper Plus option. 1 Disney gift card with the value of $2,000 subject to restrictions. 1 Disney VIP tour guide for 8 hours on 1 day. 4 tickets to the NBA experience at Disney Springs. All you have to do is visit ebay.com/ESPN to see a long list of amazing, one-of-a-kind experiences like this one, the NBA experience at Disney Springs, a dream come true for any NBA fan anywhere, and especially for our Low Post listeners. 100% of the proceeds will benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research, and like Jimmy V once said, we'll never give up in the fight against cancer. Let's do 3 rapid-fire questions to get you out of here.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Toughest guy to guard in the NBA, the guy you see coming up on the schedule, and you're like, oh, man, this is going to hurt tonight.
James Harden. Dude can score at all 3 levels.
So even as a big man, it's James Harden.
He can score at all 3 levels, and he gets the most calls in the league. You can't touch. You literally cannot touch him. It's not even like a harp on him, but you can't touch him because
if you mess up, if you're not an elite, if you're not, you know, super pinpoint on that, you go into the line.
I thought you were going to name a big man. I didn't expect a guard.
No, because, well, I feel like with big men, at least I can bang a little bit and hit back. I have more of a fighting chance. But for as a big, once I have to, first I got to get low, right? Get in the stance, make sure my foot speed is quick enough to guard him.
James, you're talking about James. Yeah.
Beat him to the spot and not foul. You know what I mean? And as a big, it's tough because you have guards who have elite foot quickness and all that good stuff and still have super trouble staying in front of him. So, you got to use that noggin.
Has he gotten you yet? Has he gotten you with the step back or you felt any low lights?
I'm not going to say it, but I haven't got one of the James Harden specials yet, no.
Okay, good.
So, I'm trying to keep it that way.
It's not easy. true or false, you were known or dubbed yourself as the Black Michael Phelps when you were younger?
I still am the Black Michael Phelps.
You still are? You still claim it?
I never gave up that title.
How serious a swimmer were you?
Well, I'll say I wasn't a competitive swimmer.
Okay.
But I was, enough of a swimmer to be a lifeguard.
Okay.
If that counts for anything.
That counts.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it counts because
I don't really know what my swim credential, I don't know you were talking about what qualifies in the NBA. I don't know what qualifies in like the swimming world. So, you know, I just give my lifeguard credits and pull my card back.
I was going to ask you what your races were, but it sounds like
no. Just okay. No races. Just a couple saves. I never actually saved anyone, but I actually did. I worked like 5-6 times. On duty, never saved anybody. Though,
pool or beach?
Pool.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Beach is the real deal.
Hey, listen, that's what I said. I'm not going to sit up here and cap and lie like I was
Baywatch
type. You
You're
know,
too
slow,
young
slow
for
running.
Baywatch. Do people don't your age don't
know
even
Baywatch.
Know what Baywatch
I know what
is?
What it is though, I just never watched it.
My age, Baywatch was a sensation. I can't tell you, like, Baywatch was a thing. You know what I'm talking about. Baywatch was a sensation.
I can only imagine. I get to see like the nostalgia everybody when they start talking about it.
You were a military kid.
Mm. Correct.
What's the best military movie?
I don't know if that's a military movie. I was gonna say because it's my favorite, Shooter with Mark Wahlberg.
Never saw it.
I don't know if that
heard is good.
Does that count? Because I'm trying to remember if he was. He was a military, but he went rogue.
Okay,
but I don't know if that really counts.
Did you
but I'm
mention
just
that
it's my favorite movie? It's my favorite movie.
Did you mention that in an interview recently, or did another player I think mentioned that as
Shooter?
Like just out
Maybe,
of nowhere?
No, I definitely have probably said Shooter before because okay. it's one of my more favorite movies. That like Rush Hour 3, Bad Boys 2. Whenever that Bad Boys 3 comes out, I'm definitely in theaters for that.
That's where we are. Where Bad Boys 3 is mm-hmm. is the next one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of time between Bad Boys 1 and Bad Boys 2, I feel like. There might have been like 15 years. Because I remember Bad Boys 1.
If what I'm hearing is correct, this is like the Bad Boys that wraps it all up. So
okay.
So I think they're going to, you know, take that 10-year or however long. No, it's way more than 10 years. Probably like 15 or so years, that period, and kind of wrap it up. So
last question. The whole league just changed. So maybe you have not had time to look at what the Eastern Conference landscape looks like right now. But the whole league did just change. Have you? I mean, seriously, right? Was there another move that was a bombshell to you? I'm trying to think. What the D'Angelo Russell one caught a lot of people off guard.
That was probably the first one. But
PG
once KD
Kawhi.
Left, I knew the Warriors they had to do something. You know what I mean? Something where there was going to be a roster change in that way. But when I saw PG and Kawhi go to the Clippers together, and now that you know creates that ripple effect over to Russ. What's going to happen to Russell Westbrook? Is he still going to get traded? And then you see this.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like
I'm going to. I think Russell Westbrook's going
to
get traded.
This changes a lot. Like, where does he go? Like, what happens to the Thunder? Do they just go rebuild mode now? You know what I mean? So
I think that's what the plan is.
The whole league is shaking up. What happened to the Knicks? I thought the Knicks were supposed to. The Knicks, KD was supposed to go to the Knicks and Kyrie. And
didn't happen.
This crazy. You know what I mean?
Didn't happen.
The league is crazy. It's a fun time to be an NBA fan.
It is, and it's good. I mean, honestly, like the players have realized. These contracts are short. The star players are the most important people in the league. We drive the league. We drive who wins championships. We're going to flex our power. And like you see a lot of older purist fans are like, this wasn't the way it used to be. And like, yeah, you know what? LeBron James is the most powerful player in the NBA.
Yeah.
LeBron James damn near by force of will.
Pioneer.
Created the best big three in the history of basketball. And only because Kawhi was like, you know what? I'm going to do my own thing. Did it not happen? But LeBron, almost like the Lakers didn't do that. LeBron did. LeBron went there and he said, okay, I want to be a Laker. we're going to get Anthony Davis. My agent happens to represent Anthony Davis. Last piece, clear all the cap space. Let's get me in a room with Kawhi and let's make it happen. Almost made it.
I mean, that dude has a lot of power to flex.
Yeah.
Is all I'll say.
But Kawhi realized too.
That he has the same. That dude definitely propelled himself into a different stratosphere, man. I mean, when you're able to lead a team that way, the whole year practically hurt. I don't even think people remember this dude was hurt the entire playoffs. He was hurt.
Where they just won. Yeah. He was playing on one and a half.
He literally hurt the whole playoffs, the whole series. And the series before that, right? That's when he got hurt.
Milwaukee is when he pulled up on a fast break and went, ooh, that doesn't look good.
Like, I don't think people understand, like, that's serious.
My point was the last question I was going to say.
Yeah.
Have you looked at the Eastern Conference standings and thought, playoffs are not a bounce for us next year, or I'm ready to set that as a team goal?
I'm trying not to say playoffs.
The P word.
I'm trying not to say the P word, man. I know everyone has their expectations.
You're still a very young team.
Yeah, and I've seen what we have been able to put together. I just feel like we haven't really proven yet. Is you proven anything yet? Once we, you know, I feel like get a little bit of traction, get a little bit of momentum. You know, I feel like Trey and I have definitely set laid a nice foundation for other young guys to come around us and build and become better. Kevin, DeAndre, Cam, big fella, Bruno. I feel like, you know, moving in the right direction, we can do some things.
We didn't even talk about the draft. That's right.
We just gotta put some stuff together. Hey, I mean,
you have 4-10. You got two. Were you in the draft room?
Hey, Mr. Schlenk is a smart man.
Did you go in the draft room? Sometimes they let the franchise level players go in the draft room.
I didn't go in the draft room.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, where they're making the picks. You know, the war room.
Oh,
whatever.
No. The war room. No. I didn't get a chance to go into.
You can go in the war room. I think.
The war room was actually at the practice facility. So if I wanted to go, I probably could have walked over there. No, I can't hop in there. That's above my pay grade at the moment.
Just at the moment. All right, you got to go watch the Summer League Hawks play. John Collins, big fan of watching you play. It's been really fun. Thanks for making a little time, and I look forward to coming down to Atlanta, seeing the arena renovation, which I haven't yet seen, and seeing what you guys do next year. Thanks for making some time.
Appreciate it, man. When you come down, we're going to have to get you a nice drink on that courtside bar, baby.
That's right. Thanks, John.
No problem.
The Low Post is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.